Hello? Yes. You know, I've discovered it's a right-handed world. And I have a fresh appreciation for left-handed people. God bless you. Won't you pray with me? Father, we thank you, God, for today. And Lord, I just thank you for your love that is extravagant. And Father, I just pray this morning that we all have a deeper appreciation for the way that you feel about us, the way you relate to us. And when you love, Lord, you're all in. You are all in the way you love us. So Father, help us to be good receivers of that love this morning. And we love you and we thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to continue Jeff's sermon series this morning, Weathering the Storm. And the sermon title this morning is His Unstoppable Love. Y'all believe that His love's unstoppable? Amen. Well, if you don't, maybe perhaps after the sermon you'll have a better appreciation for that. You know, God just loves. And like I said, He's all in. He loves 100%, 100% of the time. There's never a time that His love diminishes towards us or towards humanity in general. The scripture I want to start off with this morning is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Thank you, Alan. It says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, Paul says, "in all these things, the things that could come against us, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation," which that includes ourselves, "will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's good news. Amen, church? And so, you know, that doesn't necessarily sound like a storm. That sounds like a good thing that God loves us that way. But the storms occur in our life when we fail to realize how much He loves us. When we get outside of His will, you know, it's sometimes that's a difficult season, and maybe perhaps we felt like God's attitude towards us has changed, but His love is absolutely solid and it's unstoppable, and He loves in a pure manner. You know, and Jeff mentioned this verse this morning out of John 4, 7, and 8, and you don't necessarily have to turn there, but I want to read this real quick. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Love originated with God. "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And God's not just an example of love. Okay, He's not just some symbol of love. God is love 100%. He created love. He's the source of love. And love radiates from Him. And if you're a visitor here this morning, He loves you. And I forgot to make this announcement before I started. And I love you too. Wasn't that a great, awesome segue? If you're a visitor this morning, there's a blue card in the chair back in front of you. Feel the freedom, if you want to leave us your information, to fill that out. And either leave it in the chair, drop it on the altar when you're through, and we'd love to know you were here, and we'll follow up with that, your visit. And again, if you would like to remain anonymous, that's okay as well. We're just glad you're here. And God does love you, by the way. But He is the source of love. Love radiates from Him. And you know, our culture, our world struggles with the concept of love and where love comes from. It comes from God. He's the source. And a lot of times we see that struggle in song lyrics and in song titles. I did a Google search for song titles with love in the title. And some of them are kind of humorous. Some of them are kind of a stretch to try to connect with this God of love. And I'm just going to read a few of these. Some of these you will probably know. The first one is Love Me Tender. Was that Elvis, I guess? I guess the opposite of that was Love Me Untender. I'm not quite sure what the opposite of that would be. A Big Hunk of Love. I don't know how much love a hunk of love is. Another Elvis song. Here's one by the Beatles. Love Me Do. Does anybody in the world know what that means? Anybody, if you do, look me up afterwards. I'd like to know what that means. Here's one. Stop in the Name of Love. All right. Y'all have heard that one before. All You Need is Love, that's good if the love comes from the Father. You know, I was a head-banging rock and roller back, you probably don't believe that, but back in the 70s. And these next three songs were rock and roll song titles, and a couple of these I actually had the album. I was kind of a sordid young man back in the day. But here are three song titles from the rock and roll world. The first one is Love Bites. Love hurts, and it does sometimes, right? And love stinks. One of my favorite rock and roll songs, by the way. Or used to be. That was before Christ. Country Western song titles get pretty creative. I've read some that were actually pretty comical. Here's one. It says, I fell in a pile of you, and I got love all over myself. That was quite creative. That was kind of... And then my personal favorite, how can you believe me when I say I love you when I have been a liar all my life? What a great country western song that was. Huh? But you know, God's love, I wish that I could communicate that to you in its fullness this morning. I don't even understand it fully. So how in the world could I communicate that to you? But I'm just going to give it my best shot. I think God's given me some things to say about that. And, you know, his love is tied to his presence. And I try to think out of the box sometimes. And, you know, Scripture indicates that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere. And I believe that we all can agree on that. Psalm 139 is a pretty good scripture to go to see that, and which means there's nowhere we can go that God is not. His presence fills the universe. I mean, there's not even a boundary there that defines the universe, but his presence, if there was a boundary, his presence is pressing into that particular boundary. I love to read A.W. Tozer. He's an old theologian theologian that passed away, and he had the thought that perhaps maybe the universe isn't full of the presence of God, but God's presence contains the universe. Something to think about. But we can't go anywhere that God's not, and you know, anywhere that God's presence is, I believe it's the fullness of his presence. It's him spiritually, but I don't believe it's like a diminished amount of his presence anywhere we go in the universe. And so if there's the fullness of his presence is there, I believe that love is there as well, because God is love. And, you know, I don't know why his love has to exist six galaxies away. I don't know why it has to exist. I don't know if there's alien life out there. You know, personally, I don't think there is. Somebody asked a pastor one time, do you believe in aliens? He said, no, I don't. But if they're out there, Jesus died for them. You know, he died for them. But his love is wrapped up in his presence, and his presence is everywhere. In the 17th chapter of Acts, Paul is preaching to the people of Athens. And the people of Athens was, the community of Athens was filled with people that worshipped many gods. As a matter of fact, they had idols representing a number of different gods. And they actually had a particular altar that had the inscription on it, to an unknown god, because they didn't want to miss worshiping any gods. They didn't want to offend any gods. And Paul sees this altar, and he seizes the opportunity to share the gospel. He says, you know what? I know who this God is, this unknown God, the God that y'all don't know. I know who he is. Let me tell you about him. And so he begins to tell him about him, and he created the heavens and the earth. And then he began to tell them that that God establishes the times and locations that people live. And then he says, as a matter of fact, God's not far from any of us. He's near to all of us. And as a matter of fact, in him we live and move and have our being. And so I was thinking about that statement. Paul says, in him we live and move. Me, Paul, you people of Athens, we live and move and have our being in him. And I was thinking about that statement, and, you know, it's almost as if, as we go through our day or as we walk, like, okay, I'm walking up here, okay? Scripture says, in him I live and move and have my being. Maybe perhaps I'm walking through his presence, walking through this presence that's full of love. When we leave this place today and we go eat lunch, for me it's Golden Chick Day for me. Next week, it will be Rick and Carolyn's. And I have my stepdad to thank for that. So if you need to find Carlene and I between 12:30 and 1:30, go to Golden Chick, Rick and Carolyn's, and we'll be there. But as we leave this place today and we drive to that location, think about it. We're driving through the presence of the Lord. And his love is wrapped up in his presence. Church, his presence is unstoppable. There is absolutely no way that we could erect a barrier. Now, we have a hard time receiving that love. But his love radiating from the throne, from his very being, is absolutely unstoppable. And we might as well try to stop the sun from warming the earth in regard to trying to stop his love. We might as well try to stop the earth from turning so day will become night and night will become day. And we might as well somehow try to stop some tornado that's headed towards a community that's destined to ravage that community in regard to trying to stop his love, or try to stop a hurricane that's ravaging a shoreline and houses and commercial buildings. Church, his love is absolutely unstoppable. And he loves 100%, 100% of the time. It's not 5% pure. Well, that's not pure. It's not pure. But God's love, 100%. He loves us unconditionally, 100% of the time. You know, I wanted to maybe personalize things a little bit, and I don't want this to be about myself, but I'm just going to share some of my experiences. You know, there's two classes of people this morning in God's eyes. There are people who are in Christ, and perhaps there are people this morning that are in church this morning that does not have a relationship with Jesus. I know that's possible. I know that's possible. For me, a number of years, I went in and out of a church building, and I didn't have a relationship with Christ. And I would love for Carlene to be able to tell you her story someday. She walked an aisle when she was 14, 15 years old, and nothing happened. And so she served in children's ministry for the next 23 years until the Spirit of God got a hold of her. And I believe that date was August the 26th, 1993, her second birthday. And so I know what it's like to walk in and out of a building and not have a relationship with Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that, man, a great day for salvation is today. And Jesus loves you. But I want to share some experiences of these storms that come up in our lives because we cannot embrace his love fully. I want to share some experiences as an unbeliever because I've been there. And then I want to share some experiences as a believer in Christ about struggling through the storms. You know, I've shared this before in church, but my father passed away in 1966 with cancer. And I was 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, my dad was a good man. He was a good man. He worked hard. He was a good provider for us. Mom stayed at home like most moms did in that day. And God bless my dad. It was just that culture. They had a hard time expressing their affection for their kids. And he just didn't know what to say. And he didn't get that from his father. So I'm not upset with him about that. But, you know, he died way too young. And the things, I didn't know this at the time, but I was longing to hear these things from him. And I unpackaged this later, but I was longing to hear from him that he loved me, that he cared for me, that I had what it took to be a man, that he was proud of me, and I never got those words from him. And God took him home way too early. And so I struggled. I struggled. I made some poor choices. I was going to church, and I was just wrestling with this idea of God loving me just like I am. And there was this constant little churning going on inside of me, this little struggle going on inside of me. I remember one particular incident. I was 13 or 14 years old, and I grew up in Abilene, Texas, on Bridge Street. Alan Farmer, what street were you on?
Mockingbird.
Alan was one block over from me. Went to elementary school together. I think I was the valedictorian in my class. I can't remember. It was you. I can't remember. There were only two of us in the class, so one of us was. But I grew up on Bridge Street, and there were a number of families with kids on Bridge Street, and most of the kids were boys. There were two girls and like 87 or 88 boys. I don't know. And God bless my poor neighbors. I mean, I think about, we had football teams because we had so many boys, and baseball teams, and, we would play in people's yards, and we were just really inconsiderate. But I remember one particular night, there was eight or nine of us that, a summer night, a late summer night, eight or nine of us were out underneath the streetlight. And this was the month of June because there were June bugs there. And back in that time, there was like a gazillion June bugs. They would show up in June and they would be gone by the end of June. July, you wouldn't see any. I don't know what happened, but now you may see six or seven show up in July. But back then, I mean, there was a gazillion June bugs show up during the month of June. And so one of our pastimes is that we would go out under a street light, and the street light would attract the June bugs, and we would take our baseball bats and see how many June bugs we could smash with our bats. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And God bless us men. It doesn't matter if we're little boys or we're 86 years old. We have to make a competition out of everything. And so we did that. And so we're out in the street, smashing June bugs with our baseball bats. And this car's driving down the road, and we don't instantly get out of the way. We were tough, really tough guys. And we would slowly get out of the way so this car would have to slow down just so he would acknowledge that, we have some kind of power over him to where, he has to slow down because we're still standing in the street. And so we finally get out of the way, and this car drives by, and somebody shouts out the window, "Jesus loves you." And we said some pretty unkind things back to this guy. Some of them used profanity. I didn't, but, we were just hollering at him. And he goes down about five or six houses, and he turns into the driveway. He backs back out and starts heading back our direction. And so we're standing under the street light. not sure what's going to happen. And this guy comes, and he parks, and he gets out. And it's a youth pastor, a bold youth pastor. And he had three or four youth with him. And so he gets out and he starts sharing the gospel with us, telling us how Jesus loves us and how he died for us. And I can't begin to tell you the turmoil that was going on inside of me. It was brutal, absolutely brutal. And it was one of those storms. God loves me unconditionally. What do I do with that? Do I receive that or do I reject that? And so he says what he said. He was real kind, real nice, and he gets in the car and he drives off. And I remember none of us said a word to each other. Every one of us just lowered our head and we went to our homes, walked to our houses. And that guy ruined our evening. Absolutely ruined our evening. There was a lot of June bugs left to be smashed, and so we picked it up the next night, But, it was just one of those times where I just couldn't make that connection with this deep, deep love he had for me. And I try to fill that with, you know, drugs and alcohol and pornography, and I was a mess, and then Jesus saved me in 1981. And I was radically saved. I was gloriously saved, and I've shared that experience with you guys before. And I embraced his love. I fully embraced the love that he had for me. But you know what? After I was saved, things were good, but I was really naive, I guess. I needed someone to tell me that in this world you shall have trouble. And maybe I should have read that for myself. Maybe that's my fault. But, you know, things have been awesome, but there's also been some times that we've been through some things that have been a struggle. You know, I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. I continue to struggle with pornography for a lot of years. And I'm not alone. I mean, God set me free 15 years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we embrace that together? Because I know statistically a number of us in here struggle with that. Okay? And I know, I really didn't want to say this, but God wouldn't let me off the hook. I know what it's like to feel loved one day by him, and the next day feel like a piece of trash. That his love for me has changed because of sin in my life. I know what that feels like. But there were a number of struggles. That was one. There was a time that you know, I had, my goodness, I was blessed beyond measure. You know, I had a great job, firefighter for the city of Abilene. Had a wonderful life. Wife, Carlene, just loved me like I was, and still like I am. You know, I had two kids, a boy and a girl. You know, 2.2 dogs. You know, it's just kind of just the all-American family, basically. And you know, I went through several periods of really severe depression. Really severe depression. And 1994 was one of those years, and I don't really know where it started, why it started, but I lost my focus. I lost my focus. God, you don't really love me like you say you do. I guess I didn't come to that conclusion, but I guess maybe in a sense that's what happened. And I remember pulling up in front of a convenience store one morning, headed to the fire station on Butternut and Treadway. Right across from Abilene Portable Buildings, Butternut and Treadway. And if I'd have had a gun in my hand that day, I would have ended it. A child of the King who God loves unconditionally? What happened? You know, another storm. Something was raging. I just couldn't fully embrace, I guess, his love for me. Jesus' work on the cross for me. You know, as we go through storms as believers in Christ, I'm convinced that three things, maybe more than three things, but I'm convinced at least three things happen. Either we're just suffering because we're called to suffer, and that can look like a number of different things. We suffer with an illness. That's not necessarily God's withdrawal of his love for us. It's just a promise. It's part of the fall of mankind. Sometimes we go through pruning. You know, God loves us so much, and we have produced maybe a large amount of fruit for him, and he loves us. He's excited about that. Here, let me prune you so you can bear more fruit for me and bring more glory to me. And he knows right where to cut. He knows right where to snip. You know, Jeff talks about his call to ministry, where he desired for God to break him, so he could use him. Maybe perhaps a time of pruning there for Jeff. So sometimes we just suffer because, you know, the world is broken. Sometimes he prunes us. And maybe sometimes he's just disciplining us. Maybe he takes us to the spiritual woodshed because we need to be disciplined. Let's look at some scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. 7 through 11. Thanks, Alan. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters, I guess. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Can I get an amen on that? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Sometimes God disciplines us. And maybe sometimes that's his response to the sin issues in our life. And that could also look like maybe just some correction or maybe some redirection, maybe perhaps. You know, if we have a child that wants to go play in the street, the busy street, and they really don't understand that that's not a safe place to be, or their dog runs out into the street, or a ball goes in the street, and they head that direction, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to stop them and scream at them, try to get their attention. You know, we're not going to say, now, you shouldn't go out there. Come back over here. It's safe over here. No, we're going to just get in their business and say, stop. You don't need to go that direction. And sometimes they just don't know, so we redirect them, maybe as a form of discipline. And I wonder sometimes if maybe we're headed in the wrong direction, and God's love, through his love, he disciplines us and he moves us a different direction. You know, I think we all have sensed something that God wants us to do, perhaps. Or we felt like we had a word from the Lord, and we miss it. You know, I know a guy that, gosh, he thought he heard from the Lord 30 years ago, and he just didn't. And that guy's been discouraged for 30 years. Listen, it's okay that we don't know everything God's doing. It's absolutely okay. So if you've gone somewhere, you felt it was God's desire for you to be in a job that didn't work out well, maybe God didn't want you to have that job, and it's okay that you couldn't discern that. You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And sometimes, like I said, the discipline maybe perhaps is maybe a recorrection of the direction that we're going. So sometimes these storms come in our life just through suffering because of the fall. Sometimes they come through in our life because we're being pruned. And sometimes the storms rage because we are being disciplined. But we need to submit to that discipline process. Oh, how he loves us, church. How he loves us. And again, I wish I could communicate that fully, in its fullness, but I don't even understand it myself. Something I'd like for us to do is I would like for us to, together, corporately, make a declaration about his love. Psalm 136 is a liturgical psalm. And historically, a priest would stand and he would make a statement, and then the worshipers would respond to that particular statement. For example, verse 1 of Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then the worshipers, and I hear y'all turning to your Bible. Your part's going to be pretty easy. The worshipers would respond, his love endures forever. So what I want to do, I've taken some portions of that psalm, and I've also added some things in that maybe perhaps we could relate to in present day. And I want to read that part. I want to stand in the place of that particular priest. And I want you guys to be the ones who respond, his love endures forever. So let's practice one time. Can we do that? Or a couple of times? Not that you're not an intelligent people. My part, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Your part is? One more time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. I'm going to praise team. Why don't you go ahead and come up? And I'm going to ask the rest of the congregation if you can stand. If you're physically able to do that, I think this is something they used to do in that day. They would stand and recite back. Terry? Okay, everybody ready? So your part, you've got that down. So just follow me. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To the one who remembered us in our low estate. When there is illness in our bodies. When our parents are aging. When our children are struggling. When our finances are tight. When we make poor choices. When God doesn't meet our expectations. When we struggle with unbelief. When life doesn't turn out like we thought it would. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, God, for that love. That unfailing love. Lord, would You speak to our hearts this morning about how You feel about us in such a way that we will glean more of that understanding. God, I'm just grateful that Your love is not contingent on our next act. Your love is not contingent on how good of a week or how bad of a week we've had. God, Your desire for us is righteousness, walking in righteousness and holiness. We have a part to play in that as receivers of Your love. As we walk that out on a daily basis, would You show us this morning? Would You help us this morning? To have a better understanding of that, to bring more glory to You, to bring more honor to You. Lord God, if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know You, this morning You're knocking on the door of that heart. I thank You for that. God, I just pray for those people or that person, if they're here, to have the courage to open the door and let You in. Oh God, how we love You so. How we love You so. Thank You for Your Son. Jesus, we thank You, we praise You for hanging on the cross for us so that we could experience that love. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we worship this morning, if you want to pray with me, I'll be available. If you want to come to the altar will be open. Let's just worship the Lord together.
This final song, as we sing, the chorus says, "Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor You." So there's a response to this unstoppable love that Billy's told us about this morning. Spirit dwells within me.
said, it's a right-handed world, I'm telling you. Church, God bless you. Man, have a great day. And enjoy the presence of the Lord as you walk through your day, as you walk through that presence. And let's do a better job of striving to embrace that love He has for us. Can we do that? Say amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amazing love.